If you've spent any time, you know, working inside a big company trying to get agile working across the board, you probably recognize this feeling. The promise is speed, adaptability. But what you often get is just endless meetings, strict rules, stacks of process documents. You aim for agile, you land in bureaucracy.
It's a super common paradox. When frameworks like, say, SAFe or LESS get too rigid, they stop helping you adapt. They actually become these like restrictive contracts.
Right.
And the real issue often is treating strategy like this fixed top-down thing, a document that's basically dead the moment it's printed. Our source today really pushes for a big shift here. Strategy needs to be treated like a living product, something that's constantly adapting based on, you know, real feedback.
Okay, a living product. I like that. Let's unpack that. That's the heart of our deep dive today, isn't it? The Adaptive Strategy Operating System, or ASOS.
That's it, ASOS.
So our mission is to figure out how this post-framework approach they talk about manages to be lighter, more resilient, and this is key, more human than those big scaling frameworks we see everywhere.
Yeah, and ASOS pulls this off by cleverly combining three really powerful ideas. It brings in the deep empathy from design thinking.
Okay.
The continuous flow and visibility you get from Kanban.
Right.
And the kind of structured alignment that comes from objectives and key results, OKRs.
Okay, so it sounds like it's trying to build stability with clear goals, but keep flexibility by using those human insights to evolve. That's the tension, right? How does ASOS actually deliver that balance without just creating a different kind of heavy process?
That's the million-dollar question.
So let's start right at the beginning. You called it post-framework. What does that actually mean in practice? There are these four core principles, right, that seem to explain why it apparently causes less resistance in organizations.
Exactly. And the first principle really sets the tone, and it's a direct answer to that frustration you just mentioned, meaning before mechanics.
Meaning before mechanics. Okay.
Yeah. Think about most big changes. They usually start by defining roles, processes, tools, reporting lines, all the mechanics. ASOS completely flips that. It starts with empathy, driven by design thinking. Change doesn't kick off because it's Q3, but because someone, somewhere, found a real human need. Maybe from a customer, maybe from an employee right inside the company.
Starting with empathy, that changes the whole conversation up front, doesn't it? You're asking people what they need before you start telling them what to do.
Precisely.
And the source says this leads to way less resistance, much higher buy-in, just because people feel heard from the outset. It's not just about compliance.
Absolutely. And that flows right into the second principle, adaptive strategy in action. If you start with that empathic trigger, then your strategy, your objectives, can't be some fixed commandment. It has to be treated like a dynamic hypothesis. Yeah, something you're constantly learning about, letting it evolve organically. And this is where Kanban fits in so nicely with the design thinking empathy. It gives you the structure to actually test that hypothesis and make sure your strategy stays relevant.
Okay, hang on, though. If strategy is always a hypothesis, always evolving, how do you stop things from just churning constantly? Isn't there a risk of, like, strategic whiplash, destabilizing everything if every little insight means a big change?
That is the critical challenge, you're right. And the ASOS structure addresses it. While the objective is a hypothesis, the process for reviewing and potentially changing it is very disciplined. It's not about constant replanning, it's about structured learning. You don't just throw out the roadmap. You adjust the current strategic direction based on the evidence you gather through your key results. So the structure provides the stability. The empathy steers the direction.
That makes sense. And that leads us to this interesting idea about leadership behavior changing, joint sense making. We've all sat through those quarterly reviews, right? They can feel pretty high stakes, less like learning together and more like an audit.
Oh, absolutely. Like a performance review for the strategy itself. ASOS says strategic reviews need to transform. They shouldn't be management reporting events. They need to be a shared space of learning.
Shared learning.
Yeah. Leaders aren't just there to grade performance. They're participating in discovery, helping interpret the data alongside the teams. It turns that reporting burden into genuine organizational learning.
That sounds like a really necessary evolution of leadership. The source calls it servant leadership 2.0. What does that actually look like in practice?
Well, servant leadership 2.0 means the leader's main job is creating the space for that joint sense-making to actually happen well. Instead of checking outputs, they're asking things like, okay, what surprised us here? Or, if this hypothesis didn't pan out, what are the top three things we learned that we need to remember?
So they become collaborators in figuring things out, not just judges of the results.
Exactly. They're helping adjust the telescope, right, not just auditing the view.
Got it. And then the last principle, the one that keeps it lightweight, the post-framework mindset. This means seeing tools like design thinking, OKR, Kanban as flexible building blocks, not some rigid rule book.
Precisely. That's the key difference from those heavy frameworks. You get the freedom to mix, match, adapt, or even drop tools based on what your reality demands. You're building your specific operating system for your context, not forcing your organization into a pre-made box.
Okay, so if strategy is adaptive, how does it not just spiral into chaos? You mentioned empathy-driven governance. How does that work?
Right. This is the mechanism that keeps it coherent. It connects the WHY of change, those deep human insights we talked about, with the HIW of change, which is managed using Kanban flow states.
And the trigger is key here, as we said. Change is human-driven, explicitly, not schedule-driven. You don't just update the strategy because it's the end of the quarter. New sub-goals or sub-objectives only come up when real new insights, frustrations, ideas, opportunities from users or employees signal a genuine need to adjust course.
It's a powerful idea, but, you know, it brings up a tricky question for anyone listening. How do you make sure this empathy-driven governance stays truly driven by empathy and doesn't get skewed by internal politics?
Right.
What if a powerful leader really pushes their pet insight?
That's a really fair challenge. And the system's answer seems to lie in the transparency, the visualization, and that joint sense-making aspect. Because the whole strategy is laid out visually, like a flow system using Kanban states. It forces everything out into the open. It makes it much harder for one person's agenda to hijack things without some shared agreement and evidence.
Okay, so let's look at that visualization. You track the strategy using, what, three main Kanban states?
Yeah.
It's been launched.
Proposed.
Right?
Yeah, proposed. A new objective, a new hypothesis has popped up, usually from one of those empathy triggers. The action then is to discuss it, prioritize it, define it, but crucially, in a joint review with management and teams, not in some back room.
Okay, and if it gets the green light?
Then it moves to active.
Right. Yeah. So now that objective is live, it's linked to key results. Hmm. Teams are actively collecting evidence, having those joint sense-making reviews, tracking progress. It's what everyone's focused on right now.
And finally.
Finally, it moves to retired. This means either the objective was met or maybe the hypothesis was proven wrong and it's just not relevant anymore.
Yeah.
And this is important. It gets archived with all the key learnings documented.
Ah, so you don't lose that knowledge. Every experiment, success or failure, adds to the organizational memory.
Exactly. It prevents that institutional amnesia.
So the beauty here is the whole strategic portfolio is visible, constantly being checked for relevance. It's not really anti-agile. It just seems better tuned to how humans actually learn and discover things. Stability from the clear objectives, flexibility from that transparent flow.
Well put. It's about calibration to human reality.
Okay, but how do you effectively keep an eye on a strategy that's always potentially shifting, always a hypothesis? That sounds like it could become a huge reporting burden in itself, which I guess is where AI enters the picture.
Bingo.
Let's shift focus there. The role of AI in this. The source calls it the DTX ASOS integration, and DTX is design thinking experience, right?
That's right, yeah. AI is really the key to managing this constant learning flow without getting bogged down in bureaucracy again. When we talk about an operational nervous system, think about the difference between a static blueprint of a building and a living organism that can sense things, react, regulate itself in real time.
Okay.
The blueprint is your old static strategy. The operational nervous system is ASOS, the turbocharged with AI.
So the core idea is AI doesn't replace people making decisions. It augments awareness. It helps leaders and teams with seeing, understanding, and deciding better, not taking over the actual doing.
Precisely. It's a co-pilot, not the pilot. Let's look at some specifics. For empathy and insights, you can use AI, maybe GPT-based tools, to analyze huge amounts of qualitative feedback interviews, survey comments, support chats.
Right.
It can spot patterns, emerging frustrations, or maybe new opportunities much faster than any human team could sift through it all. And importantly, it can help reduce our own biases in interpreting that messy human data.
And it strengthens the learning loop too, right? AI can help draft those "what did we learn" summaries from team experiments.
So knowledge doesn't just stay stuck in one team's head.
Exactly. It helps break down those knowledge silos and makes learning flow across the organization.
And then there's the governance part, which sounds pretty powerful. AI helping with governance support by monitoring OKRs and the flow states, acting as an early warning system.
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting for management. So when AI flags a bottleneck in this governance support role, what's it actually looking at? Is it just like cycle time slowing down? Or is it smarter than that? Is it seeing if Team A's key results are maybe accidentally undermining Team B's based on the actual data?
It's aiming for the latter, much more sophisticated. Yes, it looks at flow metrics like cycle time deviations, but it's also searching for those complex patterns, dependencies between teams that aren't being addressed. Leading indicators that suggest two active KRs might actually be pulling in opposite directions for the customer. It flags these things as potential risks before they blow up into major problems.
The source gives a really neat example of this. The FutureOrg AI Navigator. Apparently, after each strategy review that joint sense-making session, this AI tool automatically generates a synthesized learning summary.
Yes. And this summary pulls together, say, the top three insights from the discussion, any emerging risks the AI detected from analyzing the background data, and maybe some recommended actions based on those patterns.
And that's the game changer, isn't it? It shifts the labor of synthesizing all that information from the humans to the tool.
Totally. Instead of teams spending days polishing PowerPoint decks to explain what happened, managers get a concise, synthesized narrative almost immediately.
So teams just need to review the AI summary, check it for accuracy, add their human context, and decide what makes sense. Management gets the big picture faster, and people can focus their energy on the meaning and the next steps, not the report creation.
Exactly. It boosts organizational velocity by reducing the burden. But, and this is crucial, this AI partnership only works if you have really clear guardrails, ethical and functional boundaries.
Okay, let's nail those down. What are the key principles for using AI meaningfully here?
First, augment, don't automate. AI supports, it doesn't replace human judgment.
Right, critical distinction.
Second, transparency first, no black boxes. You need to be able to understand why the AI is suggesting something. Explainability is key.
Makes sense. What else?
There absolutely must be a human feedback loop. Humans have to validate the AI's inputs and suggestions to make sure they're actually relevant and correct in context.
Got it. Validate.
And the fundamental intention has to be learning over judging. The AI is a mirror, showing the organization its reality. It's not there to score performance or assign blame.
Learning over judging. I like that.
So bringing it all together, ASOS, with AI woven in, aims to transform that static strategy document into a living, breathing system. AI becomes this co-pilot in the whole learning process, like part of the organization's nervous system.
Allowing leaders to make decisions faster, more informed.
Faster, yes, but also more informed because they're drawing on broader evidence. And crucially, keeping those decisions more human because they're still ultimately anchored in those empathy triggers we started with.
So that shift from strategy as a rigid contract to strategy as this continuous flow, that's really what defines resilience for a modern company, isn't it? Constant adaptation isn't just nice to have anymore. It's basically required to survive and stay relevant.
Absolutely. The organization is constantly sensing, responding, learning, supported by data, ensuring the strategy remains a product that its customers and its own people actually value.
Okay, so here's the final thought to leave everyone with today. If strategy really is a living product, something that must constantly adapt to human needs and fresh evidence, how often should your current way of operating the system you use right now be seriously stress tested, reviewed for relevance, and maybe even fundamentally evolved based on that deep human empathy? How often should you be prepared to retire parts of your own operating system?